Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome into yet another Diddy Takeover here on ESPN Upstate. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan. Mark out yet again. Diddy right here. That's me hosting for the next 3 hours of sports talk real estate. And I am joined once again by a living legend returning from vacation to retake his rightful place among Greenville sports talk icons. It's the one and only Lonzo.
See, we were just talking about kissing butt in off the air. So, yeah, what you want, man?
I don't know. I just like to do that. I like to build you guys up. I do it to Diesel, too, to make him uncomfortable when I have to do...
That doesn't make him feel... I'm sure
he probably loves it, but he pretends he's uncomfortable.
Well, I'm sure you're probably not saying enough about him. That dude's an egomaniac. Whereas I am just humble, as anyone knows who's ever listened to the show.
Absolutely. We're all humble here. Nobody's got an ego in this building.
That's right. Never.
There's no such thing. We have a huge, huge, huge show to get to today. 4 days of basically nonstop football since we were last with you last Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And we have a ton to cover in that span. At 2:20 today, we welcome in the voice of the Burns Rebels, host of the Saturday morning scramble here on ESPN Upstate, Cole Bryson. He's going to fill us in on all things high school football playoffs. He was down at the press conference today. He's going to be there on Saturday, I'm sure, for all of the championship games. We got Wren, Chapman, and Dorman all playing at Williams-Brice Stadium for state championships this Saturday. At 3 o'clock, we will be joined by Brad Crawford, of 247 Sports, to talk Gamecocks, Clemson, and all other things college football. First, we got to try to get through just this chaos of college and pro football this weekend. Overall, rivalry weekend, I would say, kind of a dud. Lots of blowouts, maybe two good games. The Ole Miss finish with the boneheaded penalty and the Iron Bowl, both kind of good finishes. Other than that, everything was really just kind of as you would have expected it. Big-time teams always seem to come out on top in the end. But we're going to start right here with the Palmetto Bowl. The Palmetto State Championship, we can call it the butt-kicking in Columbia, maybe Clemson's tune-up game for the playoffs, whatever you want to call it. Here's literally the entire game in 55 seconds.
It's a fade to the left side for Higgins, makes the over-the-shoulder catch for the touchdown. Beautiful touch by Trevor Lawrence, 11-yard touchdown strike, and Clemson has grabbed the early lead. Plenty of time, airs one downfield. He's got Higgins over the shoulder, makes the catch at the 10, and waltzes into the end zone for his second touchdown reception of the day, 65 yards. Looking, throws toward the end zone. He's got a man open. Catch, did he get a foot down? No, incomplete was Justin Ross.
Receiver's right foot came down inbounds in the end zone, and he maintained possession of the ball. It's a catch, and the result of the play is a touchdown.
First and goal from the 2-yard line. Two receivers right. Rodgers in motion to the right. Lawrence gives it to ETN. Going to the right. And he's untouched into the end zone for a touchdown. And a 2-yard touchdown run for Travis ETN. That's his 15th of the season.
And with every touchdown, the crowd response got lower and lower in volume because nobody was there to boo it. As you heard there, there was zero highlights for the South Carolina Gamecocks, as because there aren't any. It was a abysmal day, an awful, awful game to finish an awful, awful 2019 season for the Gamecocks. 38-3 Clemson. Trevor Lawrence looks like Trevor Lawrence again. 295, three touchdowns, 26 of 36. Trevor Lawrence led the game for the Clemson Tigers in rushing with 66 yards. ETN adds 51, two touchdowns. There's really, you know, there's no drama all last week leading up to this game whatsoever. There was no hype, no excitement, no drama, nothing except for an expectation of exactly what we saw. And because of that, we were right. And everything we saw Saturday was lacking drama. There was nothing. There was no moment in this football game that you started thinking, hey, Carolina's going to climb right back. One little move here, one little score here. I think we got him back. No, it just didn't exist from the jump. There was the fade pass to Higgins in the corner, then the deep bomb to Higgins. And really, that was all she wrote. After that deep bomb to Higgins, this game was absolutely donezo. And again, Trevor Lawrence really starting to become the quarterback we expected him to be all year again in these last few weeks. And, you know, Dabo Swinney talks about it after the game with the improvements that Trevor has made throughout this season, obviously, which started out a little bit rocky.
He had a career high 66 yards rushing. He doesn't get enough credit for what he does with his legs. And that was the number one thing coming into this season for him to grow. He needed to be more productive with his legs. And again, not necessarily called runs, but productive and creating third and fives, checking the ball down, extending plays. You saw him reset in the pocket on the long touchdown to T. Great protection, but you know, sometimes on a play like that, it takes a little while to develop. You know, his reset in the pocket, moving his feet. I mean, he's just done that all year long, and then some scrambling.
And that's the thing I think a lot of us have talked about in this medium that was lacking early in the season. He didn't seem to be getting out and running as much early in the season. I think over the second half of the year, we've seen Lawrence kind of refine himself as far as what he was last year in a guy who was a dual threat quarterback out there. He's capable of taking off and making your defense look bad when they're falling back to cover all of those receivers that Clemson has. So right now, I mean, we've seen Lawrence in this Clemson offense become a well-oiled machine in the second half, sure, against bad opponents, including South Carolina. But, I mean, all you need is confidence sometimes, and they've probably got it in spades after how well they've been over the second half. And really, when it comes back to this game, the only actual drama that came out of Columbia on Saturday was Dabo Swinney being Dabo Swinney after the game, having, I would say, what I probably would call an attempt to fire up his team through the media in his press conference.
It's huge from a national standpoint because, obviously, if we lose this game, I mean, they're going to kick us out. They don't want us in there anyway. I mean, we'd drop to 20. I mean, Georgia loses to this very same team, and the very next day it's how do we keep Georgia in it? We win to the team that beat South Carolina, and it's how do we get Clemson out? It's the dadgummest thing. So it's big because they can't vote us out. We got to go 30-0. I mean, we ain't got no choice because we don't play nobody.
Well, first and foremost, you only have 12 games in a regular season in college football, Dabo, so that one's rough. There's not 30-0 possible for you, but, you know, this whole thing's really asinine, and it's been asinine throughout the year, but he's not necessarily wrong overall. He's just kind of taking a huge step, a leap, a jump-to-conclusions board type of leap to embellish the truth. There have been discussions talking about in the past, not recently, in the, you know, after the first college football ranking, there were discussions about if an undefeated Clemson is going to be held out. But the discussion was that if there are 8 undefeated teams, do you hold out? Who do you hold out? Is it Clemson because of their schedule? Nobody was saying, you got to get Clemson out of there, guys. You got to get them out. We don't want them in there. That's not the thing. But Dabo's job overall is to motivate a football team to win football games, not please the media, not please rival fans. It's to motivate them. And right now, it's got to be hard to take a team that's won so many games in a row, dominated the entirety of their schedule outside of one football game, and make them feel like underdogs. This is his way to do it. We literally do have a promo, by the way, running right now for Golic and Wingo, where they talk about Clemson being the 7th best team. So again, this is based in a truthful statement that has been embellished enormously because it was happening 6 weeks ago, not in the last few weeks, once everybody kind of got weeded out at the top, and Clemson is one of now just 3 undefeated teams. Nobody in their right mind would think to say that Clemson doesn't belong in today unless they lose to Virginia. So, and Lonzo, you know, this is something we've dealt with throughout the year and dealt with the last few years. He has to do what the Patriots do. This is what this looks like to me. He's creating disrespect so that he can feed the disrespect to get his guys fired up.
You know what? I saw this on social media all over the place. Dabo rants, Dabo rants, Dabo rants. I'm like, okay, let me listen to this. It's not a rant.
It's not, really
it's not a rant.
Yeah.
And you know what? The fans, the Clemson fans, realize it's not a rant, so they're posting old rants to say, see, he does know how to rant, so they're defending him by playing old rants. He's not ranting.
Like, get angrier, Dabo.
I mean, come on. It's the all shucks, all Clemson.
Yep,
no one believes in us. Whatever. It just doesn't work anymore. It doesn't.
But the thing is, it's working in-house. That's the only thing that matters in the end,
right? Is it, though?
I mean, they haven't lost in 2 years.
I agree. But the schedule, it seemed like, you know, other than the struggle with North Carolina, was so much easier this year than it has been in the past. So they haven't really been tested. What are they going to do? there's going to be three teams or at least two teams that are really, really good in the playoff. When they go up against a really good team, what are they going
to
do?
And depending on how those rankings fall, you might have to step up against what we both consider one of the two best with Clemson, and you might have to play Ohio State in a semifinal, not in the championship game. And that's going to be a really tough road. But I think that's what this is about for Dabo. This is about creating that controversy that doesn't exist so that he can get you thrown up, so he can get you huge and fired up and happy and excited, because I don't know if that was happening enough early in the season. Early in the season, none of us can deny the fact that they were coming into the year being touted as they're going to repeat, they're going to still be on top. That's just, the conversation was there. They were number one coming into the season. So I think that's what may have led to a slight letdown at North Carolina. And then Dabo got back into his routine after that because now he had fodder. Now he had reason because people were going to point at North Carolina game and say, that's a question. That's a one. That's a thing we got to worry about. Maybe Clemson's not good. Their schedule's so bad. And he took that and could mold it into this whole idea that he can feed his players. And then they come out and they blow everybody out since that game. Every game's been a blowout of epic proportions since that game, including against South Carolina this weekend. So in the end, you know, people get mad about it all they want. He's not going to stop this because I still, you know, kind of correlate this. I wrote a blog about this before this whole end of the season stuff all happened, saying Clemson's the new Patriots. They're the Patriots of college football in this whole way that they can manipulate the message to their own people and get you fired up over disrespect that probably doesn't really exist that much, because little old Clemson might be gone, but little old Clemson, the mentality of having to prove themselves still exists, and it's still winning football games. All he has to do is convince those kids that are taking the field that we're still little old Clemson. They don't believe in us, and that gets them motivated enough to win a football game.
See, I want to disagree with you on something. That wasn't a blowout Saturday. It wasn't by the standards of what a blowout should be.
35 points.
Yeah, but you're going up against South Carolina. Why didn't you score 60?
True.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's a blowout. 60. We've seen 60 points scored before.
Fair.
That is a blowout. This was not a blowout. If you wanted to prove something, I think you needed to beat South Carolina by more, because South Carolina is not a good team. And you only scored 38. What are you going to do when you go up against somebody who's actually good? What's going to be the excuse then?
I don't know. I can't get on that one, because 35 points, and it came easily. It was a breeze, a cakewalk, a practice session for Clemson on Saturday. Watching that football game, just the lack of hope I had coming into the football game was erased within the first 10 minutes of the game itself. There was the one goal line stand, and you're like, okay, well, let's see what this is, and then bam, 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 done. You know, it was just that second touchdown again. Once he hit Higgins on that deep 65-yarder, it was over. That game was over, and you really didn't have to push to score more points.
If Jake Bentley's there, would it have been a different game?
You know, I don't know. And that's a tough question to kind of to approach, because you think about how good he did last year. But last year he had both Bryan Edwards and Deebo Samuel on the field. Neither of them were going to be on the field for this football game. So, you know, maybe Helinski's better with just Bryan Edwards. Maybe Helinski's better if he had Deebo Samuel this year, because Deebo was such a next level talent. So last year, I feel like, was two different things. I think it was, you know, that wake-up call Tanner Muse talked about, that, you know, we were embarrassed. We thought we were these big shots, and they put up 500 yards on us, and we had to wake up and smell the coffee kind of deal. It was kind of that, maybe a little lackadaisicalness from the Clemson defense. But on top of it, I think this Clemson defense is better. And I think they've proven that over the year throughout how they've been able to shut down everybody they've played, including the close game against North Carolina. They didn't score many points. So it's I think tougher to think they would have done it this year with Bentley or Helinski, just knowing Deebo wasn't there, and especially not having Bryan Edwards on the field as well. Two huge weapons were gone for this football game. Made a huge, huge difference offensively. Did get a text real quick. You want to get on the text line, 71307. Start the message with ESPN. He said 30-0 because 15-0 last year, 15-0 this year. And yeah, you're right, but that's not, I mean, of course now you have to go 15-0. You can't lose a conference championship game to Virginia. Then you can't lose the first round of the playoff and go to the championship. That's just how it works now. So, yeah, you do have to go 30-0, but year to year is different. We're supposed to be talking about this year. And this year, they just have to go 15-0 now, because they're at a position that there's no other option. There's just not. But we're going to move from Clemson into the South Carolina side of things. Will Muschamp beginning to make his personnel moves, which shows that the boom era will undoubtedly continue in 2020. We will discuss the state of Gamecock Nation next on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Make sure to get in on the action. Join us over the phone, 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. You can text us at 71307. Start your message with ESPN or find us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. We do have Twitter polls today, three of them again. Are you calling me Superman? Is that what you're... I like this song.
Yeah, so do I, and I always play it for myself, not for anybody else.
That's good, because I'm actually somebody who appreciates and knows music, unlike certain people, and I like it. Thank you for playing good stuff. But we got your Twitter polls over at ESPN Upstate. Get your votes in on that. Respond to that. You can even call in on that topic if you'd like. Twitter poll number one, what is your expectations for the 2020 Gamecocks? Less than 4 wins, 4 to 5 wins, 6 to 7 wins, or the outlandish thought that this was all a fluke and they will win 8-plus games in 2020, which, yeah, somebody already voted for that, which is crazy. But we'll get over that in a second. Twitter poll number two, how many games will the Panthers win over the last 4 weeks? 1, 2, 3, or 4? They do not have an easy road here. Just to let you know, at the Falcons, who just blew them out at home a couple weeks ago, then they welcome in the Seahawks, who look outlandish right now, then at the Colts, who are a pretty good football team, and home against the Saints. That's how you finish out the season. You just lost to the Redskins and then the Falcons 2 weeks before that, by the way. So not looking good. Zero also an option if you just want to tweet at us on that poll and say they're not going to win another game. And if that happens, I think it's time to move on coaching-wise. We'll talk about that one later as well. Twitter poll number three, who do you feel is most likely to be upset this Saturday, conference championship Saturday? Just going with the three teams at the top, the three undefeated teams, LSU, Ohio State, or Clemson. Quick start to this one. So far, 70-30 split. Clemson getting no votes. Little homer twist there. Ohio State gets 30%. LSU, 70. So far, I think the Georgia fans are jumping on that one.
The people voting against Ohio State are Michigan fans, and they're a little sore. And you should be.
Or me. It might have been me.
Wasn't you?
Of the three, I think just they have the toughest opponent to me. But that's a different story. They already blew them out anyway, so I don't think any of them lose.
Don't think Georgia's tough?
I don't think Georgia's tough enough to beat LSU. But we've talked about that. We'll talk about that later on as well. Right now, though, Gamecocks talk. We got stuff to get to. I'm sorry. I forgot about Delvin. Delvin is on the line. We need to go to the phones. Delvin wants to talk college football. How you doing, bud? Welcome into the Diddy Takeover.
Hey, dude, how you doing, man?
Pretty good, my friend. How are you?
Well, you about to talk about it. I want to say, what you think about the reports of the coaching changes on the staff?
Yeah.
With South Carolina, with with Dillman out and Warner out, we must have talked about them because he kept talking about how they had too many injuries on the team. So don't know what was going on. So you knew that was kind of happening. And then Warner is out. Now, what do you think about McClendon taking the demotion? I mean, yeah. I thought he'd be off the staff, but he getting demoted. He's staying on staff.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Devin. Appreciate that. I don't know if, you know, that might not last because I feel like that's how it started with Roper. At first, they said he was going to be demoted, and then he left and took another job. But if he does stay, that's awesome. He can still help. I feel like he's the kind of guy who has been known to be a good recruiter, Brian McClendon. So if they can keep him kind of on the staff to keep recruiting and help out in some way, that's nice. And you know, it just hasn't worked as far as the offense is concerned this year. It's been decrepit. It's had zero identity all year long, and somebody's got to take the fall. And since they're not willing to pay $20 million for Muschamp to go, something has to change. And that's usually what you see change, is coordinators get a little bit of an axe, and maybe loyalty pays off for Muschamp this, or for McClendon, because Muschamp keeps him on the staff.
I'm sorry, you said... He was a big problem. When they hired him in the first place, it's like, really?
They were really good last year.
Yeah, they were really good. Okay, all right.
Offensively, they played really well last year. Their defense was bad last year.
I'm sorry. I'm to the point, and I hate to say this, and I didn't watch the game.
Yeah.
There was another game on at the same time that I was watching.
Your t-shirt tells me the story.
Yes,
yeah.
It was. But I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I'm to the point where I may not watch again if he's still the coach. And I wonder if anybody else out there is like that. That you reach the point where the powers that be at South Carolina don't care about the fans enough to realize that a change needs to be made. So you're just about. I'm so close to you losing me as a viewer, or listener, or whatever. Until he's gone and you bring somebody else in, I don't care who it is. Bring somebody else in.
And that's the struggle that. You know, Kaslin and Tanner, if he's staying around, you know, into the future, are going to have to deal with is the fact that you can't let this continue into the world of complete and total apathy to the point of nobody coming. This has always been a program that sold well. Even when they weren't good on the field, the stadium was full. The fans were rabid. We were excited every week. I'm not excited every week anymore. I haven't been excited every week for 2 years. Since they started falling after, like, they won that Michigan game, I was real excited coming into the next season. Last season, I was, here we go. And it just started the same way. The same thing I saw with Muschamp down at Florida. It's just no offense. The defense is supposed to be better, but it's not playing better. They give up a ton of yards to bad teams. They can't win big games. They get one big game win this year, and that's the only big game they've won this entire time in 4 years that Muschamp's been there. We just saw a Florida State coach get fired at the same time that he had the same record as Will Muschamp. They were both 4-5. Willie Taggart had only been there 2 years. This was his second year. This is year four for Will Muschamp. 4-8 got Charlie Strong fired from the University of South Florida. The expectations at the University of South Florida somehow are higher right now than the expectations at South Carolina if you're willing to part ways and make a move after a 4-8 season after 3 years. Because right now we're sitting here after 4 years and we still have a new, you know, outlook on 2020 thinking, well, what's going to happen now? Because we already know this seems to be a foregone conclusion. He's not going anywhere. This is it. So he's going to make these moves. He's going to, you know, fire strength and conditioning coach Jeff Dillman, fire quarterbacks coach Dan Werner, think that that's going to make some difference. Demote Brian McClendon, find somebody who's going to come in and be that. We'll find out later maybe some options from Brad Crawford. But I don't see any way anybody can come in here outside of a new head coach and fix things. And maybe a new head coach can't fix things very quickly. But this, the way it's going and the trending of this team, it was really good 2 years ago. When they went to that bowl game and they beat Michigan, they had a great year that year. And the hope had returned after it dwindled at the end of Spurrier. And then it was gone again right away. Last season was bad. The defense fell to being, I think, 93rd or 89th, something way down the list. This year, the offense just disappeared. And yeah, the injuries are a huge part. So firing the strength and conditioning coach, good idea, because obviously he's not doing his job if these kids aren't conditioned enough to stay healthy. But in the end, I'm with Lonzo, it's got to fall on the guy in charge. How many offensive coordinators are you allowed before it's your fault? You know, before it falls back to you and you're the guy that has to answer the call. And we're sitting there you know, looking at this team and the schedule next year is harder than this year. They got to finish next year back-to-back games at Death Valley's. LSU on the road, Clemson on the road to finish 2020. Are we really going to think this is getting any better? Or is this Kaslin saying, hey, what we're going to do is just purposely suck next year, because why get a new coach to come in and take this beating and then fire him? Because now it's $10 million less money to buy him out. There just has to be a time where mediocrity and the slip into being awful has to be stopped. And I saw certain people tweet about it over the weekend. I can't remember exactly who, but I agree full-heartedly that this is a step towards what we just saw end for Virginia. 15 years, Virginia waited to finally beat Virginia Tech again. We're sitting on six here for the Gamecocks to beat Clemson. They're six going on 15 with the way these programs look right now. And that's a big, big problem for a program in South Carolina that has the money, the facilities, the fan support, and everything else that university has to offer. There's no excuse for a program to be this bad. There just isn't. There's none. And we're sitting here now. The state of Gamecock Nation is that they're 4-8 after 4 years of Muschamp with no hope in sight. And Lonzo making a great point that what's my motivation to watch anymore? What's my pull? What's the hope that I have inside of me as a fan and alum of South Carolina that makes me want to wake up on Saturdays and get excited for this team right now? I will do it myself. I stay forever loyal, as the hashtag always says. I will wear my garnet in black next fall just like I did this fall. But it's really hard for me to be excited. I'll do it to support the school, to support the players. I'm not spending money to go down to Columbia, though. I'll watch it here, at a bar, at home.
See, that's a sad thing. People will. And yeah. I mean, Mark Ryan's made this point a few times. I hate to agree with him, but I do agree with him. You know, you make yourself known with your wallet. If you don't go to the games, I mean, Gamecock fans, well, we were there when we didn't win a game. Mm-hmm. Well, things got better. And you saw signs that things were going to get better during that season. I'm not seeing those signs now. I'm just not. And until they look in the stands and see nobody there, I don't think they care as much as they should.
And that's the thing. You can't keep holding on to that before even Lou Holtz era. You know, like Lou Holtz era on has changed things for this program. Yeah, there were signs of glory in the past, in the 80s and before. But the Lou Holtz start through today, or through Spurrier, we'll say, was a change of this program. And what we're doing now and allowing this to continue as a university, this is, you know, Kaslin's decision to keep the staff. What he's doing is showing us that it's not going to matter going forward. So again, Lonzo just said it again. Hurt him with the wallet. If they're going to lose more money by keeping them than it'll cost to get rid of them, then maybe the decision's different. But right now, we're showing up. We're buying things. And I get it. We're loyal. We are a loyal, a ravenous, a very supportive fan base, and I love that. That is why I'm a part of it. But we're just accepting mediocrity the more we accept this to continue. And Kaslin needs to do something to fix this program. And again, Gamecock fans that are getting mad at us saying this stuff, I pray to God that I am wrong. I just highly doubt I am wrong. It's probably not going to happen that I'm proven wrong by Will Muschamp at the University of South Carolina. But from one bad Carolina to another, we have two bad Carolinas to talk about today in football. Panthers fall at home to another bad football team yesterday. Another inexcusable loss could have lit Ron Rivera's seat on fire. We will digest and the demise of the Panthers next on the Diddy Takeover. Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Don't forget to join the fun here on the Diddy Takeover. Get us through the text line 71307. Start your message with ESPN. Call us 844-477-3776. We may or may not have breaking news, but we'll get to that in a minute. I'm trying to verify before I say anything about it and look like a complete fool on the radio.
Hey, good on you trying to verify.
Yeah, I'm trying to find people.
I haven't seen it across the bottom line yet.
So. Like, it's not on the ESPN ticker. It hasn't. I've seen a couple people tweet it might be fake, and then a couple people retweet the regular, and I don't know if it's real or fake. So I'm asking a couple people in the know.
Not being an ESPN snob, but usually if you see it across the bottom line, it's hard to fool them. So. Yeah.
So, but now I'm seeing other people tweet it like it's real. We'll see. We'll get back to that. We want to talk Panthers right now. And, you know, just another horrible day for the Panthers in Charlotte. They come home after a rough loss where they fought hard and stood toe-to-toe with the division-leading Saints. And then they again laid an absolute egg against a bad football team. The Redskins are a horrible football team. And they were in the chase for the number one overall draft pick. You know, all the teams, by the way, the Redskins, the Dolphins, and the Bengals yesterday getting wins. Apparently tanking is dying, or they just messed up and accidentally won some football games. But the Panthers can't be losing to the Redskins. Not this year. There are years, obviously, where one team was better than the other, but not right now. And when you're able to go toe-to-toe in Lambeau in the snow with the Packers, when you're able to go toe-to-toe in friggin' New Orleans in the Big Easy against Drew Brees and the Saints, and you can't even beat the Falcons and Redskins in back-to-back home games, that's bad. That's real, real bad for the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, you can blame players, you can blame anybody. It's got to eventually fall back to the coaching. And we've seen multiple times now that the ball has had to be in rookie, undrafted free agent Kyle Allen's hands in a key point inside the 10-yard line at the end of a football game. And they haven't put the ball in Christian McCaffrey, arguably the best running back on the planet, hands. So it's just rough to get there, but we'll, you know, here's what Kyle Allen had to say about how they started off hot and you did not finish hot.
Mistakes. You know, the first two drives we were really locked in. We knew what we wanted to do and we were moving the ball down the field. And then, you know, after that they kind of adjusted to us. They were starting to roll out extra coverages, play a bunch of different stuff, and it's unacceptable, man. It was just poor performance all the way through for us to come out that way in the first two drives and play that way the rest of the game is not good.
And he's right. They came out on fire. They looked really good early in that football game. And I thought, here we go. This is that step back. This is that showing. Maybe they won't get back to a playoff spot. The schedule coming up is real hard for them. But just at least a big win against a bad team, a statement win, score a bunch of points at home so you can make the fans happy before you got to go play the Falcons. Maybe get some confidence to go down I-85 and get some revenge for what happened a couple weeks ago up in Charlotte against the Falcons. But instead, they completely fell apart. They just fell apart in the second half. And Kyle went on to talk about the patterns in the recent losses for the Panthers.
No, I don't think there's a common denominator. I just think that, I mean, if there is one, it's just making a play when it matters. They can make all the plays you want, but when you got to make the one that matters, we got to make them.
Yeah, and you know, this one's not as easy to put on Rivera as far as giving it to Christian McCaffrey because there was so little time on the clock. But I mean, last game, obviously, you had the ball there. You had the chance to give it to Christian McCaffrey. You didn't. And that was the problem coming into this one. This one, again, it ends up in Kyle Allen's hand. He doesn't see the wide open receiver. And then he ends up, you know, taking that really bad sack and ending the game without even throwing the ball towards the end zone. Like in that situation, I try not to hate on a kid like this who has zero experience. You know, he's coming into this year completely behind the eight ball with no experience whatsoever, no knowledge of what this is going to be like. So you got to give him kind of a little benefit of the doubt. But in that situation, at that level of football, you have to have it in the back of your head. I got to at least make the throw. there's got to at least be a ball towards the end zone. You can't take a 20-yard sack because then you had no chance. At least if the ball goes up in the air, maybe one of your guys comes down. If not, they intercept it. Same result is what it is.
I got to admit, I watched this entire game, and I could have been watching a more competitive San Francisco and Baltimore Ravens game.
What a game.
But I watched this entire game, and I'm sorry, you're down by a couple touchdowns. You score a touchdown, you get an onside kick, you come back, and he is moving the ball down the field. I'm blaming this on Norv Turner because you get down there, and then he starts calling running plays down there and puts him in a position where he should have, that very first play when you're down there in the five or whatever, it should have been a pass play right then.
Yeah.
He's passed and got you all the way down the field to that point. Then you go away to Christian McCaffrey, who I love, but lately cannot get that 1 yard. Mm. He just cannot, no matter what. Every time you put him in that situation, and part of it is the offensive line, but he cannot get that 1 yard.
Yeah.
Eventually, you got to learn. He's not getting it for you. Go another route. End the round with a receiver. Something. You got some faster guys on the team. Something clever. Norv Turner is supposed to be that guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, with the momentum they had, they really had a shot, and then it just stalled because of play calling.
Well, and there's ways to get Christian McCaffrey the ball in that situation inside the 10 with the game on the line that don't involve running it up the middle. And when they're expecting the run up the middle, like we've seen over and over, they're going to stack up on that. And, I mean, he had 58 yards receiving in the game yesterday.
Well, the amazing thing,
throwing him
they
the football.
Got an onside kick.
Yeah,
no one
that
does
awesome.
That. And this happened in the last couple of weeks. There's been two that
especially
have actually
now,
worked.
When you have to stand 1 yard. Like, that Patriots one was so close last night. But, like, it's so hard to get even a chance at that ball now with the new rule. But you throw those swing passes, something to get Christian McCaffrey the ball in those situations. But, again, you know, it's not something that I think can as badly be put on Rivera or the coaching staff. Last week definitely could be, but this one not so much. But Rivera did talk after the game a little bit, and he talked about how frustrating it is to lose all these close games.
Are there some things that we can do differently? Probably. Are there things that we're going to look at and try and correct? Probably. Are there things that we're doing well and we're going to continue to try to do well? Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, guys, there's two teams out there competing. Those guys competed. They competed their butts off. They tried to win a football game, and it came down to, unfortunately, the last play. Okay, we've had four of them like that. That's football.
That is football, and he's right about that. And the thing about the NFL, any given Sunday, but it's been a repeated thing this year that they've come close with good teams and they've fallen short against bad football teams. He was even asked, though, about the bad teams, how frustrating or more frustrating it might be how they've been losing to bad football teams.
Austin Stogner in the game, a tight end. It's a pitch.
Whoop. That might have been the Philly special. We'll get to that. That was good. I apologize.
No, I told you that I would make a mistake. All right, I'm done. All right, I got it.
You know, we all seem to forget that they may struggle, but again, they're paid just like our players are paid. They go out, they play hard, they give it their best, just like our guys went out and gave it their best and they fought to the very end. They're all disappointing. You know, everybody got to understand that these guys are trying, they're doing the best they can. The coaching staff is working their asses off, okay? And you look at the mix of players that they've had to deal with, the guys they've tried to work with, I think our guys are doing things that they're needing to do to give themselves the best chance to win.
And that's fair. He's not wrong about that, but it's just, it's something that's getting to the point of being inexcusable and unacceptable. Losing these games, coming back to lose to the one-win Falcons at the time, coming here to win to lose to the two-win Redskins yesterday. Excuse me. It's something that cannot continue to happen, and something's got to change, and I don't think this is going to be good for Ron Rivera. We already looked at that schedule going forward. They've got four tough games. They're playing a bad team in Atlanta, but that bad team in Atlanta beat them badly just a couple weeks back, and then they got the Colts, the Seahawks, and the Saints. So it's not looking good for Rivera, not looking good for the Panthers. But elsewhere in the NFL, the Ravens and Niners, I did watch this one. Luckily, I was working at the brewery. I had both TVs going, so I could see both Carolina and the Ravens Niners. But they gave us an instant classic yesterday. But I'll tell you why we will not see a rematch in the Super Bowl. That's next on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So this is why we don't release breaking news until we know for sure. Mike Leach will not be the next coach at Ole Miss, at least not yet. There was a tweet going around, and we were trying to figure out if it was real. It was not. It was fake. So that's not a breaking news story. Sorry, guys. Nothing for you on that front right now. But we'll see a lot of that going forward because there's a lot of coaching carousel coming up in the college football. And, you know, once we get to the end of winter, the NFL level of football as well. So we have a lot to talk about there. But yesterday there was the big, big matchup, the game of the year by far, you know, as far as the teams that were playing in it and where they've been and how they've done this year, with the Niners traveling to Baltimore to take on the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Jimmy Garoppolo, the San Francisco defense, the Baltimore offense. And, you know, it really didn't disappoint watching that game. It was a lot of fun. It was, you know, more of a slugfest as far as, you know, hard-nosed old-school football because of the rain and the weather. Didn't really help, you know, their attempts to air out the ball. There was a lot of running, a lot of ground and pound, and, you know, not a huge high-scoring game. But in the end, to me, it proved a lot as far as the Ravens are concerned, because a game like that is a game that you wondered if they could win because of the difference, you know, types of Ravens team we've seen throughout the year. We've seen them be great. We've seen them be meh. We saw them get blown out by the Cleveland Browns at home. So who are we going to see going forward? Obviously, they're on this huge streak right now of winning all these games in a row. But yesterday was going to be that real big benchmark, that real big point of emphasis when we look at what this team can do going into the postseason. And what helps the Ravens as far as being favorites in the AFC is that the Patriots looked horrible last night. And we'll talk about that one later. But this game has been billed as the, you know, sneak peek at the Super Bowl, that the Ravens-Niners game will get a rematch now. This is how it should line up. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to happen, because I don't think the Niners have a chance to get there. I think they can get close. They're going to be a good playoff team, but I don't even think they're winning their division because I don't think they can beat the Seahawks, A, and their schedule down the stretch is real tough. I mean, they have the Falcons at home, which should be an easy game with the Falcons coming out west, but right now they got to go after this Ravens loss to New Orleans to take on the Saints. That's not an easy game. They got the Rams at home after the Falcons, so those two games, Falcons-Rams in a row, should be winnable. But if they drop to the Saints, now they're a four-loss team or three-loss team, you know. And if the Seahawks win tonight, the Seahawks are tied, and the Seahawks have the tiebreaker. So they have that game it comes down to at the end of the season, the last week of the season, Seahawks and 49ers, to say, you know, which one of these teams is going to be the one coming out of the West. I don't think the Niners even win their division after that start, and after they've been so dominant defensively. I think the Seahawks are a better football team, and we're going to see the Seahawks come out of the division. And I don't even think, you know, maybe the Seahawks win the conference, but I still think the Saints are going to get things rolling. It's going to be real interesting in the NFC. And I just think it's funny that all of these major guys on the major networks are basically, you know, dismissing the rest of the NFC and thinking this is going to be it. I think the Niners are maybe, you know, one of the three best teams in the NFC, but they're not, I think, as much of a sure thing as the Baltimore Ravens look to be right now. And the Ravens, you know, still have something to worry about too. I mean, the Chiefs are getting better and better. The Chiefs have, you know, games to win against the Patriots coming up, and that's going to be a big one. But with the Patriots playing like they have, it seems like the Chiefs should be favored going into that one, and it's going to be really interesting there. But I still think, you know, with what we've seen, and obviously the head-to-head game between the two teams, I feel like the Ravens are the best in the AFC. I'm not so sure the Niners are in the NFC.
You know what? I believe in the Niners more than I do in the Ravens.
Really?
I do. I realize the Ravens are on fire right now and they're doing everything right. I just think a defense is going to figure them out. I think they're going to figure out Lamar Jackson, and that's going to change things. And also, if it comes down to a scoring competition between someone like the Chiefs or another team that scores really, really high, and don't count out the Titans for some
Titans
reason.
Titans have been ridiculous.
The Titans are they're starting to – I mean –
Fighting Mike Vrabels.
Yeah, who knew that would happen? The Titans, you know, the first couple, it was like it was a fluke. Now, all of a sudden, they're starting to look legitimate. So,
could you imagine Tannehill leading a team to the Super Bowl How would Dolphins fans react?
Yeah, a few months ago, no. Now, I mean, it wouldn't shock me completely.
Right? Not completely.
Vrabel's got them playing really, really well.
I still think, you know, the top two teams in that conference right now are probably the Chiefs and the Ravens. Then I'd maybe put the Texans and Patriots behind that, and then maybe Titans. But nobody else, I feel like, is really in that mix overall in that that conference, because, I mean, I like some of the teams to be decent and close to playoff, or the teams that sneak into the playoffs, but I don't like them to win a conference or a championship. You know, I don't think any.
I think the AFC more than the NFC is going to be about what the playoff matchups are.
That's
more
true.
Than anything. I think some teams don't work real well against the others, and hopefully it will be interesting.
And as of today, the Ravens have a huge leg up because they hold home field advantage if it all ended today, because they have the tiebreaker against the New England Patriots with that win head-to-head. So that's why it was such a huge. The last 2 weeks were basically must wins for the Patriots, even though they were 10-1 and 9-1 the last 2 weeks. They had to win those, and they didn't get the job done last night in Houston. So we'll see how that AFC shakes out. But I just don't think the Niners can get through that gauntlet. And I'm going to pick the Seahawks to come out of that division just because of the games that the Niners have coming up. But we're going to head back into college football. We do have some high school football talk coming up with Cole Bryson at 2:20. But next, we want to talk about this shift at the top of the college football rankings. Bama will not be in the college football playoff. We're going to talk about all the other scenarios that we might see in the ranking tomorrow night and might see change next Saturday come conference championship time. All of that and more is next on the Diddy Takeover of Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.